When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Life, call his wife, and hey,
how we doing?
4:11.
How's your boy been on this Tuesday morning?
It's up to you.
That's right, it's up to you. As we got the Subway Series coming our way, you heard the highlights there. The Stanley Cup Finals is finally over. As the Panthers win Game 7. I told you why that was good for the Rangers. We can maybe get to it again sometime this hour. We'll get back to the baseball here. As you just heard the promo, I forgot. Let me say happy birthday to Jeter. As you just heard the promo there of Jeter's 3,000th hit or whatever highlight it was from Derek Jeter. I just saw pictures of, I guess they threw him a surprise birthday party. His wife threw him a surprise birthday party, and everybody was there. I saw Paul. I saw Jorge. I saw Tino. That whole 90s team was there. That dynasty team was all there for the captain's 50th birthday. Derek Jeter is 50. Crazy. Derek Jeter, who owned the Mets as we get ready for the Subway Series, owned the Mets, and my personal favorite Subway Series moment is probably that leadoff home run. It's probably that Derek Jeter leadoff home run, which really cemented what everybody knew, that the Yankees were going to win that series. And you probably knew it from game one, was probably a game the Mets couldn't afford to lose and did. And we've talked a little bit about that Subway Series, but we're more focused on this one. As for me, I understand it's June, and I understand that the Yankees are well within a playoff position and actually picked up a game on the Orioles last night, who lost to the Cleveland Guardians, which I still can't figure out. And the Mets are right in the middle of things, two games under 500. If you go just on simple math, if you just look at it and say, well, yes, it's June, so how important can it be anyway? And we'll forget about it in a week. But honestly, I think for the New York Yankees, this is an important game. And I think more importantly, and if you want to look at it this way, for a Met fan, like the Bob Uslers of the world, who for years tormented me, took it on in his personal job, was to torment me. And I think the lines are blurred between loving the Mets and hating the Yankees. So I know you're out there. I know that kind of fan exists. Right? I think Loogie is one of them. For those of you out there, I don't remember another Subway Series where the opportunity to really just stick it to the Yankees. Because typically they're played around this time. It's not the end of the year. But and again, we kind of forget them as they go along, so I don't know. But for right now, it feels like coming off three consecutive losing series, and the starting pitching too, because this Met offense has been on fire. It's done a really great job, and it's beat some of the best starting pitching in the National League this year. Right? It beat Imanaga, and the Cubs absolutely pounded him. He had a, what, sub-2 ERA? Was pitching as one of the best pitchers in the National League. They beat Dylan Cease with the Padres. They beat John Gray, who had a 2.17 ERA heading into the game for Texas. They have pounded good starting pitching. And as the Yankee team comes in here, losing, as I said, the last three series, they've lost Stanton. The offense is sputtering a bit. The bullpen is kind of falling apart. And right now, this once great team that everybody felt was different and was about to, you know, on their way to the World Series, suddenly is floundering, suddenly is questioning how good they really are, suddenly is questioning how many holes they have and how do they fill it, and really the starting pitching is what has kind of held them together, because despite the two bad starts for Heel and Rodon, you bounce back with Stroman, even Nestor was good, Cole was good his first time, and if the Mets and this potent offense over the last 2 weeks come into this series and pound Cole and Heel, now the Yankees have a problem, because now we're not sure the rust level of Cole, And on an even more important level, Luis Gil would be coming off back-to-back bad starts. And now the questions of, well, has he hit a wall? Is he fatigued? You know, he only threw 7 innings last year. He's coming off Tommy John. Has the league figured him out? Can they count on having Luis Gil be a starter down the stretch? You know, and with the offense sputtering and now losing, as we were just talking about with Marco, losing Stanton for God knows how long, and then when he comes back, how long before he gets his swing underneath him? Like, this is an opportunity for this Met team, who's going in one direction as the Yankees are going in another, to really stick it to the Yankees. And I know George isn't around to really get hung up on it, and Hal's not the same that his father was and doesn't get hung up on these things. He's not going to trade Ted Lilly, or he's not going to trade someone for having a bad game against the Mets. But ultimately, right now, as they're about to embark on then a divisional series against Toronto, who's lost 7 in a row, this is an opportunity that I don't ever remember for the Mets, who are going in one direction, the Yankees in another, to really stick it to them. Now, for the Mets, and especially also, it would reinforce the left-handed pitching that the Yankees can't hit. And the Mets are throwing 2 left-handed pitchers at him. And very wisely, they saved Severino, or moved Severino up for the Cubs series, and didn't let him pitch against the Yankees. They're throwing 2 left-handed pitchers at him. And we're going to see if J.D. Davis can help. But this Yankee team, what? Can't hit left-handed starting pitching. The lineup's down. The rotation's all they have left, really. And if that gets pounded, and now we have questions about the young phenom, Luis Gil, after the Mets come through and beat the crap out of him for 2 days, this is an opportunity for the Mets to really make a statement here and put a hurting on the New York Yankees. Sure, would they still be in a playoff position? Of course. Is the season falling apart? No. But a lot of questions that need answers, and there are none coming for the next month, could really be even more re-emphasized and even, you know, more blatant if the Mets roll through the New York Yankees. And yeah, it's important for the Mets too. You want to keep momentum. Absolutely. They're right in the thick of things in the National League wild card. They're 2 games under 500, battling back from how terrible they were. It's amazing, this stretch, and they're still 2 games under 500. So these games are important for both teams. It's actually, for me, it's a series that's got a lot of juice. We're going to look forward to watching the games. But as a Yankee fan, and fair, I mean, it's coming from a Yankee fan perspective, got to be honest, it feels like it's an opportunity. The Mets, I don't know, going into a series as a Yankee fan, I've had this feeling where, you know, the fan base is ready to turn on this team. Everyone's pointing out that it's just like 2 years ago when they had that great record and fell apart. Soto slumping, Verdugo's falling off, Stanton's gone, DJ LeMay, who looks like a shell of himself, Gleyber Torres needs to get the hell out of here. Like, the team is falling apart. Nobody believes in it. Nobody trusts in it. And losing to the Braves is one thing. Losing to the Orioles sucks. Losing to the Red Sox really sucks. And then to finish it off, a 2-game under 500 Met team rolls, welcomes the Yankees into their building and absolutely pounds them. It just feels like these are bigger games than you would think late June, considering where both teams are. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. We'll take your phone calls. Got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan. We'll go to Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
It's going, sir. How are you?
Pretty good, Chris. Pretty good.
Okay, yeah, good. Point.
So I'm excited for the Subway Series. I mean, I'm not expecting a sweep, because obviously that's a little much of a stretch. But I'd be happy with a split, honestly. You know, with the way the pitching's been, the hitting hasn't been 100%. You know, and injuries and a lot of stuff, and the way the Mets have been playing against the Yankees.
Yep.
I have to say, you know, whatever the result is, well, even if we lose these two and somehow Baltimore starts winning again, we'll have a tie at least at the top of the division.
Well,
so,
I mean, I would expect Baltimore to win because they're playing the lowly Cleveland Guardians. Even though Cleveland has the best record in the American League now, they're a Fugazi team that you can't really trust or think anything positive about at all. They play in the American League Central, so it's an absolute disgrace. And, you know, the Orioles, I'm sure, will beat them by 15 runs the next 2 games. But you're right.
Okay.
I mean, right now, if you pick up the song, I'm laying it on pretty thick. But right now, you're right. And listen, the Mets come into this series a little hampered, too. They're going to obviously not have Diaz, who is suspended for the 10 games. And over the next 10 games, they're going to be short a man in the bullpen. So these games are important, too. You need length from Peterson Manaea, because although you do have the day off after this series, you're going to get into a stretch where you're playing more important games than the New York Yankees. Like, for me, the Yankees want to stabilize themselves. Because, and that's the difference, too, ultimately. Yes, you know, the Mets are in a playoff picture. And the Yankees are just trying to stabilize themselves at the moment. So each game feels like the same, where I would argue that, yes, they have a two-game set against the Yankees. You want to keep momentum, no doubt. Every win's important. I get it. And then you play the Astros at home again. But then you take on the Nationals and Pittsburgh. Those series are far more important. That's why moving Severino up was a good idea. You needed to win that Cubs series. Like, you need to win all these games, obviously, but it's more important to battle with the teams you're competing with in the NL wildcard. You got a National Series coming up. You got a Pittsburgh Series coming up. And that's why you got to make sure this bullpen, the starting pitching over the next handful of games, is going to be important, because you got to make sure your bullpen is in decent standing. And right now, I don't know who you got. You got no Diaz for 10 games. You just lost Reed Foley. Like, there's not a lot of guys in the circle of trust right now for the New York Mets at the back end of that bullpen. And they're coming in, and never mind the fact Marte is going to miss, I think he's going to not, no activity really for 2 weeks. So he could be gone a month, 3 weeks, a month, you figure, right, with 2 week no activity. With bone inflammation, which I've never heard of in my life. I can't ever remember bone inflammation. His bones inflamed? Never, I don't know if I've ever heard bone inflammation. Maybe a bone bruise. Never heard bone inflammation, but that's what he's got. He's got the bone inflammation. He's got it bad. And he's going to be out for a while, and so they're going to have to figure out who plays right field, whether that's guys like Jeff McNeil, who's consistently played against right-handed pitching, and that's who they'll face in this series, of Cole and Luis Gil, whether they call somebody up. You would think Beatty is the most likely. He's played a little bit of second base since being sent back down. He's still hitting. You know he's going to hit Triple-A. That's the thing about Beatty. You know. He is hitting Triple-A. Same thing with Vientos, who's now come up and hit Major League Baseball and you know, has done really well. But you know those two guys. You knew it going in. They're better than Triple-A pitching. So could he be, you know, brought back up? Iglesias play second base. Beatty play a little second base. McNeil out in the outfield to replace Marte for the time being. Could you see more Stewart? Could you theoretically, although I doubt it happens, especially just for a short injury time period of a 2 or 3 week period, I doubt they would bring up a prospect like Acuna, but he's been really killing it the last 3 weeks. Could they reward him for some good play and bring him up for a bit just to get a taste of Major League Baseball and see how he responds, see how he performs? But both teams are going to be missing some guys, as the Yankees are obviously missing Stanton. Mets, no Diaz, no Marte. But the fact that it's in late June, I still think that both of these teams have something to play for here. And I think there's juice in these series. And the last thing I want to see is Luis Gil get lit up by the Mets. Because then the Yankees, that starting pitching that has been a strength, will now see Rodon give up back-to-back terrible starts, Luis Gil give up back-to-back terrible starts. That's what scares me in this whole thing. If you told me, if there's one thing I want in this series, one thing, the one thing I want is Luis Gil to have a good performance. That's the one thing I want to see him bounce back. I want to see him, you know, throw the ball well. I want to avoid the conversation of fatigue and the league's figuring him out. And can you really trust him now down the stretch? Do you convert him to a reliever? I don't want to have those conversations. And we're not far. We're not far from it. That's how quick this thing turns, especially having Tommy John and only throwing a couple of innings last year. So these games are important. They always are. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. We also got the Anunoby news, where, if you haven't heard, it was just a formality, but he has officially declined his player option, becomes a free agent. Sounds like Philadelphia is hot on the trail, but I think the Knicks are obviously looking to re-sign him. I don't know if you can combine him with Mitch Robinson, so I would think the rumors of looking to trade him make sense. I think those two things go together, because you just can't have two guys like that who are injured all the time in your starting five. I think you trade Mitch, you try and sign Hartenstein, and you bring back Anunoby. But free agency starts. We're a couple days away from the draft. Knicks have 2 first-round picks and the Stanley Cup Finals. Any of that you want to talk about, I'm here for you. 888-808-1019. Plus, Roger Clemens did not intentionally throw the bat at Mike Piazza. I don't know how else to put it. It's pretty plain and simple. Watch it again.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung out and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:30. McMonagle here with you. You just heard Howie Rose there in the promo. Yesterday was Howie Rose Day here on The Fan. It was great. I heard a little bit of him. The show he did from 6:30. I guess he actually stayed a little bit later and did till 8:30. I heard him promoting Eric Spitz, who I haven't seen or talked to in a long time. It would have been good to hear him, but it just didn't work out. I heard a lot of him with Evan and Tiki. And some of the highlights they were playing and everything, it was really great. So congratulations to Howie on 50 years of being in New York sports broadcasting. The one that was great was the Francesa one, live from the bar outside Madison Square Garden, the night they beat Vancouver to win the cup. And, you know, how you could tell how happy and ecstatic Howie was. And then there was a clip of Howie as a young kid doing play-by-play. There was a couple of really interesting things. And so 50 years of Howie Rose in our lives. And I have a little personal touch of Howie Rose that I will never forget. I'm sure Howie Rose has already forgotten it. But when I started here in 2007, this was a New York Mets station. Before they saw the obvious need to switch to the New York Yankees. I'm just kidding. But this was a Mets station for forever. And we used to run the Met games. And it was always cool, and still is, to hear like John Sterling say your name. But when I first was started, it was always nice to, when you were part of the broadcast, you were running the board, the broadcasters would say your name. So this was, I believe, the first game. I'm hoping it was the first game. The first board, I think it said April 2007. So this is like really as I'm just starting here at The Fan, running the board for a Met game. And Howie gave me something I will always remember. So thank you, Howie. Here's the sound.
New York Mets Baseball is a production of Sports Radio 66 WFAN in conjunction with the New York Mets. The coordinating producer is Melissa Schack. The executive producer is Dove Kramer. Studio operations handled by the team of Greg Giannotti, Bill Gannon, Rick Bonacorsi, and Chris McGonagall. That is his name, right? Well, nice job, Chris.
Thank you. I thought I did a great job that day, Howie. I appreciate it. That is the name. Did you catch Greg Giannotti in there? That's how long ago it was. That's how long ago it was. And as Fliegelman said, that's some team. You got obviously the morning show host. You got the overnight host all running the Met game. April 2007. Chris McGonagall. Which is, you know, almost as good as McGonagall. He was almost there.
McGonagall.
During the break, I'll get the Russo one. That's my favorite. When Russo, the first time Mad Dogs tried to say my name. Now that's my favorite. So I'll go find that during the break. But yes, the Howie's laugh. That's his name, right? Yeah, that's it. Congratulations to Howie Rose. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury? Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. I love McMonagle. Oh, that was great.
Yeah, he struggled with it.
That's a classic. So we'll start with the Panthers. All right, they deserve to win. They held off the Edmonton.
Oh, absolutely.
They win their first one. I almost forgot about it, but you know what? I'm glad they won, and it's yeah. The first best.
I'll tell you the truth. For Ranger fans, I think you should be glad they won. Because a couple of reasons. I'll go through them just real quick with you, Maury. One, if you want to say you lost to the best team, like I used to when I was a kid, you could say that. But now I've kind of gone away from that. But some might stay with it. But more importantly, when this team won when the Panthers won the President's Trophy a couple of years ago and then lost in the playoffs, they recognized they needed to make changes to be a better, you know, force inside the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they made the changes. They made the trades. And over the last 2 years, it's just felt like they were on a mission. Like, just watching them over the last 2 years in the playoffs, they felt like, yep. I mean, they've played as hard as anyone. They play the style that is so successful in the postseason. They've been, it just felt like they were determined. They were determined to win. And coming off of last year's loss, and now if they would have blown a 3-0 lead,
oh my God,
and fallen apart like that and choke like that, I just think they might have been. Now, going into the playoffs that deep and going to two back-to-back finals might hurt you, might hurt your legs the next year. But ultimately, I think they would have been just so pissed off and motivated that they might have been as dangerous a team as we've ever seen. Like, I just had that weird feeling, like, if they blow this, they're going to come back pissed off next year, and that's the last thing the Rangers or anybody else in the Eastern Conference would need. Plus, now that Maurice has won it, now Paul's won his championship, you know, there's a chance he could retire. Like, the whole thing could be different. I want to eliminate, let them get there, let them win, and now let them, you know, be fat and happy and not worry about trying to catch that championship anymore.
Yeah, and the thing, the cup stays in the United States, doesn't go back to Canada. I think
that is
like
true.
12 years or some years. And
yeah,
then
it's been a while.
I got two things on the Yanks before I get to that. First of all, true story. I love when true story.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic.
Like to say this,
it's a, you know, it's about a superhero who becomes, you know,
true story.
Daredevil at night. True story.
And then I want to just say something about what you talked about with your son. I loved what you said. Like, it was almost brought a tear to his eye. There was a commercial when I was a kid with the Indian that used to cry when he looked at
with the litter.
At the pollution, and he looked around and he had the little tear in his eye. I felt like that for your boy.
I know, he did.
That's so innocent. The innocence in that boy, it's like so beautiful. It's like, it reminds me of when my son was little. Like,
why
are they?
I know. Thank you, Maury. You're right. Yeah, when we went to the Yankee, he just couldn't deal with the amount of litter on the ground, and he just didn't understand. I don't know if they recently, like, every once in a while, he'll be a kick on something, and you know it's because they did it at school recently. He'll be on a kick about something, and it's because they went over it at school or it came up at school. And for whatever reason, I don't know if they recently did anything about litter or, you know, but when we were walking, you know, to Yankee Stadium, he was just beside himself with the amount of garbage on the ground. I mean, why? Why, Daddy? Why is it? Why would they throw this on the floor? And he's like I should pick it up. I'm like, let's not. I appreciate what you're doing. One day we'll come here with gloves and pick up stuff, but not. We're on our way to the game. Fran in Staten Island. What's up, Fran?
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Fran, and I'm from Staten Island, and I just want to say I'm a huge Mets fan.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to the series this weekend.
Yeah.
And I also want to shout out to my grandkids who are graduating today in Staten Island.
Oh, high school or?
No, elementary.
Elementary.
Graduating from fifth grade, and my granddaughter's graduating from pre-K.
Oh, congratulations.
And my grandson, who's a diehard Green Bay Packers fan, enjoys watching Aaron Rodgers. And he's very smart in football. He knows everything there is to know about the sport.
Really?
Yeah. He's only 10. He's been watching football since he was 3 years old. And my son, who's his father, is an Eagles fan.
Oh, how did he become a Packers fan?
He just picked it when he was little.
Yeah, I'm worried about that, Fran. Thank you very much. I have a son who just, you know, is a little bit of a front runner right now, to be honest with you. We turn on the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl. Suddenly, you know, he wants a Patrick Mahomes jersey. But I told him, I said, yeah, you're riding high now, buddy. Sure, Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs. One day he won't be there. One day Andy Reid won't be there, and you'll suffer, my friend. You will suffer like the rest of us. Don't you think you can hide from it? You can't. If you want to be a sports fan, suffering comes with the job. So you think you can turn on the TV, see them win the championship, and you think you're going to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan? Don't think you can hide from it.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right. Nice. I was trying to find that Russo one. I found one. It's not as good as the what I remember. I feel like I have a better one, but it's pretty much the gist of it. So I just put it in there. WFN, you got it? All right, so this is, since we played it, yesterday was obviously a big day for Howie Rosen. He's going to get honored today at the Met game, at the Subway Series game. So congratulations again to Howie Rosen, 50 years. We should all be so lucky of broadcasting here in New York. And I played a highlight of Howie trying to say my name. And at least he tried to get it right. My favorite part of this clip is what he says after he says my name. But this is Russo. I think it might have been the first time I worked for him. I don't remember. But this is Christopher Mad Dog Russo on like a Saturday or Saturday afternoon solo, not with Mike and the Mad Dog. So here's Russo attempting the McGonagall.
Everybody, how are you today? Nice to have you with us on a Saturday morning in New York, 13th day of October, the year 2007. Anybody alive out there tonight? Good to have you with us as we chat to you about the world of sports. Chris McGonagall and, of course, our pal today. I can't pronounce his last name, but we'll live. Sal Licata will spit through this show.
Chris McGonagall can't pronounce his name, but we'll live. And we'll live. We will. At least Howie tried to get it right. He's just like, I can't do it. I don't care. it was better in my mind, to be honest with you. I thought I had one that was literally says, can't pronounce his name, who cares? But maybe that's how I've played it. I haven't listened to it in forever. I saved that in October of 2007. But I thought that's what it was. I can't pronounce his name, who cares? But I guess it's
this guy's got a name. Good for him.
Yeah, right. Good for him. Can't pronounce his name. We'll live. Sal Licata. So that's it. I was working with Sal Licata. I was working with Giannotti. We're all still here, believe it or not. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Robbie in Lake Success. What's up, Robbie?
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good morning.
Well, why not?
Well, you've been up all night. But anyway, all morning, let's say. Quickly, two things I want to bring up. I will say, that hockey series was one of the greatest hockey series I ever saw. And I have a different take on I wanted Edmonton, mainly because I hate Florida.
Yeah, absolutely, I get that.
It's a Ford fan base. They're all transplanted New Yorkers for the most part. And Look, Canada, that's their religion up there. And it would have been unbelievable. I love seeing history. And, you know, I was talking to Marash, was posting something on Twitter, and I don't care. I mentioned it because I responded, and he's saying, big disappointment. How could they, they just ran out of gas. And, he's talking about at the end of the game and putting down McDavid. And I'm like, dude, you obviously never played anything over junior high because.
Well, I heard he's a very good flag football tight end player. So there's that.
Oh, whatever. So the point I'm saying is, it's not even the point he played tonight. It's a matter of. They gave everything, man. This season's been going on since October, September. They start training camp, and you go to a seventh game and almost pull up a miracle. And I mean, they gave everything. And I will say, thinking about it with Howie Rose, when I was at that seventh game with I had seasons back then with the Mateau, so I never heard his call till it was played later on, over and over and over. Got to be the most unbelievable. I've been incredible at a sporting events.
No doubt.
Great, Chris, the greatest intense hockey game I think I've ever seen. And I've probably been to about 1,000 hockey games live. And not better than the Cup, obviously, but just different. And I wanted to throw out something else, Chris, that
real quick.
I haven't been on in so long. I went to that Giant thing, the 100-year
thing.
Just an event.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, some days, man. That looked like a lot of fun.
I will say this, Chris.
Yeah.
If you're a Giant fan, forget Jet fans or non-Giant fans could care less. It was everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody pretty much from the 86 and 90 team, the coaches. It was off the charts.
Yeah.
The best event for a Giant, fan to go to. One of those things.
You got it, Robbie, and thank you for the call. I didn't even know it was happening until it happened, and I got to tell you, I was impressed, too. It was like, man, everybody is there. That would have been awesome. That definitely looked like an amazing event. I was shocked. Just to see Tom Coughlin and Lawrence Taylor talking, like all the pictures, like that would have been I mean, that really did look like a great event. And I agree with you. I hate to, you know, be just a guy who follows the crowd here. I don't have a unique take. I agree. The Mato is Howie's best. I mean, that is just an incredible call. And the One More Hill to Climb, baby, Mount Vancouver, just an incredible. He's had a million great ones, but that's the pinnacle. I agree. And then the other thing about the Cup, I got to be honest. I get it. Edmonton, no doubt, win three in a row, the battle the way they did. You know, they blow them out in game 4, 8-1 or whatever it was, and then they force this game 7, play their hearts out. It comes down to, you know, the last few minutes, one goal game. Great. I know that it is not the Stanley Cup final MVP. I know. The Conn Smythe is the overall playoff MVP. I still hate giving it to a loser. I just hate it. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I don't care necessarily, but I hate it. I hate the idea that I want to give it to someone who's going to celebrate. Like, I think of it as, like, coming from even just like McDavid. He's supposed to, like, accept this award and be happy about it. He just got his guts ripped out. You think he wants to, like, oh, yeah, I was the best. I just lost. Can you imagine? We talk about, like, I was mentioning this before, like, some of the real, like, these strong-willed, you know, like Kobe Bryant. Can you imagine Kobe Bryant accepting some sort of MVP trophy after losing the NBA Finals? Can you imagine Derek Jeter accepting an MVP trophy after losing the World Series? Like, I just hate the notion of it. I know he was the best player of the entire postseason. I get it. And he deserves it. Ultimately, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but I hate, give it to a winner who's going to celebrate it in the moment. Sure, he'll bring it home in time. He'll celebrate it. His kids will have it, blah, blah, blah. I want the guy to enjoy it in the moment. And I just think you can't find someone from the winning team who is the most valuable. They won. Especially in a moment like that. They force a game 7 historically. They could have been the first team since 1945 or whatever it was with Toronto. And he got his guts ripped out and it's like, here, but you were still the best. Oh, thanks. I was the best. Hey, guys. Sucks for you. I was still the best. Anybody want to touch the best trophy? You want to take a picture with it? Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Because I tell you, like, I watch a lot of sports. That is my... I don't play video games. Go to work and watch sports and all international majority of the sports. I thought the season of the Mets was over, but here we come again. The Mets are in the season. So I thought June and July and August are going to be dumb. So I was watching, like, how can I entertain myself before August comes in and NFL starts to do it. So my favorite two game sports are NFL and NBA, right? So, so the baseball is not in the forefront. But when your team is losing, so you think that the next 2 months will be crazy, what I'm going to watch. But here it is. I'm watching Cricket World Cup in USA.
Nice.
Then I watch European Cup. So I have seen so many international tournaments, but I tell you, this European Championship of Soccer, is that I have seen it years and years. I'm watching it. And all the tournaments, I have seen World Cup soccer games. I have gone to a World Cup soccer game. The atmosphere is amazing. I'm telling you, the best atmosphere, playoff games in NBA. I have gone to a playoff game in baseball. I'm telling you, the best competition all over the world. With the 24 teams, that there is not even a blowout in that basically a tournament. Right. Every team is close. And the passion, like Albanian, I never heard of these countries. Albanian, Czech Republic, 8 countries coming out from Yugoslavia. The passion that they play with and the goal that matters. This is the richest, the best event. Whenever Germany hosts it, this is the best tournament that I ever have seen. And the finishes. And today's Italy finish, I was watching the game, and when it comes in the... I'm telling you, I'm not an Italy fan. My favorite team is Brazil. I started standing around clapping my kids and saying, what happened to you? You're not an Italy fan. I said, I just love sports. That's why you love sports. You'll never know what's going to happen. That's why you love sports. And sports amazing. The sport is the best entertainment. Sport is the best thing out of your deficiencies and out of your depressions of life. Sport is amazing.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you, Omar. We needed that. We needed that reminder. We needed that reminder. As I'm sure many will downplay the importance of these two games between the Mets and the Yankees for this Subway Series, and we'll talk about it in June. We just got to remember Omar's passion for the slightest little thing. The slightest little thing. He was walking down the street and two kids were chasing each other with a stick, and it was the best thing he's ever seen. And these, you know, it's just, sports is the best. It's the best reality TV you can get. John Boy's been into the cricket. I know that. I don't know. And the soccer, I hate to be the wet blanket on the soccer. I get into it a little bit during the World Cup, but I don't have a taste for it. I just don't. But I'm glad you do, and boy, do you ever. That was some rant you got there. The power of sports, ladies and gentlemen. Look at what it can do to Omar. He went from 0 to 100 there talking about Yugoslavian soccer. Get him on the radio. Mike in Ramptown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing, McGonigal?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I do well, and it's always nice to hear you on the overnight, and I appreciate what you do. I know it's a tough shift.
It's okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, I appreciate you.
Okay,
I just wanted to opine mm-hmm. on some of these things, and I know we get caught up in, like, June baseball games with the Mets and the Yankees and these things. But there are other things that are going on in the sports world, such as the Men's College World Series, which was amazing with Texas A&M and Tennessee. And the Olympic trials and different things that go on in sports.
I went down to the local school and they were playing dodgeball. Can you believe it? They still let these kids play dodgeball, and I'll tell you this. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Play dodgeball, but these are the craziest thing,
I tell you. Now, they say no headhunting, but I'll tell you, Mrs. O'Leary missed it, and Timothy got one right off the head, but they counted it. And I've never seen anything like it. The reaction from the schoolgirls laughing in the corner was beyond belief. That's the way to end the show. That's how we do it. What an ending. Olympic trials. That's it for me. I'm not sure I can take anymore. Thank you, Fliegelman. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I'll be back with you tomorrow, 2 a.m., and we'll break down actual baseball of this Subway Series. Everybody, until then, have a great day. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.